Nashville Predators, Vancouver Canucks are tied at one in their NHL playoff series. Game three tonight at 9 o'clock. Pete Weber, the voice of the Nashville Predators, is with us on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, via ISDN, not by phone. So radio quality. This is perfect. Studio quality. Pete, I'm so flattered by this.
Well, I'm glad to be able to do it. I mean, aren't we supposed to say nowadays, though, CD quality?
CD quality.
Yeah.
Digital quality. Pete, folks, you don't know it, but Pete and I are right in your living room. You don't even know. You can't even see us. Now, Pete, the Preds are splitting two games in Vancouver, taking home ice away from the home team. That's all you can ask for when you start a playoff series on the road.
Absolutely right, Jeffrey. I mean, to do the actually, and that's a bottom line thinking approach to it. The way they arrived at this was not easy by any imagination, and certainly the greater part of the reason this has occurred is the play of Pekka-Rinne in net. I think he has sort of knocked the socks off a lot of the observers around the National Hockey League. Not that he hasn't performed to this level and perhaps even beyond during the regular season the last couple of years. But this was, in many ways, I'd have to say, his coming out party for the rest of the hockey world, to see him do this on the playoff stage.
Well, now, head coach Barry Trotz is saying that he's bailed Nashville out of its first two games, winning one. Is this how the Predators will win games in this series?
I believe so, because of what's going on at the other end and how well Roberto Luongo has performed also. He has been absolutely spectacular. You know, a good friend, Elliot Friedman, he tweeted on Saturday before game number two that if this series continues as it is right now and goes seven games, the winning team is likely to finish with four goals, the losing team with three, because that's the way he was viewing this because of the performance of the two goaltenders. I'm not so sure he's very far off.
Now, what was the trip home like with the Predators after game two? It was the longest game in Nashville Predators history,
right?
And they won.
They were able to win. They had gone to double overtime, but not that long before, several years ago in their playoff series, the second of their playoff series with the San Jose Sharks in 2007. That was the club that many thought was the best in Predators history, and probably, as we look back now, kind of hard to say no to that. That was a 110-point team in the regular year. It had Paul Kariya. It had Peter Forsberg. It had Jason Arnott, all of them still in their primes, backed up by Thomas Vokoun, Kimmo Timonen, Scott Hartnell. So I don't know if I can argue against that at all, but this has been a team that has been incredibly, incredibly one of those that just does not give up. They might play poorly, as they did in game number one of this series, but hey, that was a 1-0 loss. That was all it was. So this is a club that has shown tremendous ability to bounce back.
This is Pete Weber, the voice of the Nashville Predators, on the Jeff Sammons Show, Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Now, shutting down the Sedin Twins had to be priority one for the Nashville defense, and they've done that. They don't have a point yet in the series. What's been the key to shutting them down?
Well, a guy that wears number 6 and another guy that wears number 20, Barry Trotz doesn't so much line match as he gets his defensive pairs out there against whom he wants, and that would be Shea Weber and Ryan Suter. Similar to the job they did in the opening round series against Anaheim in the Getzlaf line, but because they did well there and seemed to have them tied up, the concentration switched a little bit for them in the midst of that series, where they oftentimes were out on the ice against the Saku Koivu line with the ex-Leaf Jason Blake and with Teemu, I can't believe he's 40 years old, Solani, who had such a fantastic opening round series. And so in this series, I'm wondering if what we're going to see unfold later on tonight might be something similar with them maybe at least splitting their time and getting out there against the Ryan Kesler line for Vancouver.
The Canucks have 18 goals in 9 playoff games, the worst offensive output amongst the remaining playoff teams.
Right.
Do you expect a drastic shift in their offensive strategy heading into Game 3 tonight? Maybe some lineup changes? I mean, Mikael Samuelsson playing with the Sedin Twins in OT last game created more shots for Vancouver, but I'm hearing that Alex Burrows is going to center the line with the Sedin Twins. What do you think?
He's worked so well with them in the past, I wouldn't see any reason why they would not do that. And something else that was seeming to function fairly well in the overtime, when the Canucks really were able to ramp up their shot output anyway, the overtime periods, was Maxime LaPierre, also tried with the Sedin brothers. So let's watch and see what Alain Vigneault decides he's going to try to do. But I would anticipate at least a little bit of juggling there. Though Kessler with Raymond and with Burrows was also very dangerous. So do you disrupt one to help another? And here's the other thing to take a look at in the playoffs in their entirety so far for Vancouver. They do not have any goals from their centermen so far through 9 games of playoff action.
Wow. Now, the centermen doing a good job of winning faceoffs.
Yes.
That's something Nashville has to watch as well, because that's something that Vancouver really prides themselves on, is winning faceoffs. Is that as important to the Nashville Predators?
They certainly thought so after period one of the first game, where Vancouver was 22-3 on draws. Predators had a far better, and I don't know if I'm going to say dominant, but they had the winning side of it in game number two on Saturday night, Sunday morning. And David Legwand, of all people, was the guy who led the way in that category. But Jared Smithson seems, and Nick Spaulding, are the guys on the checking line with Jordan Tutu, and they go to their strong side. So Smithson will take him on the right side and Spaulding on the left, who have, I think, done an incredible job.
The stakes are higher in Nashville, Pete. 100 fans were waiting for the Preds when they landed home after game two. How do you think they'll respond to a bit more pressure at home?
They love it. And I'll tell you one thing they're going to examine, and if you want to check with me later on, I do keep a noise meter with me, and began doing that during the playoff series with Chicago a year ago. At the United Center, where they have legal accommodations for 4,000 additional fans over here at Bridgestone Arena, they peaked out at 104 decibels last year. Here at Bridgestone, it was 102, and that's what they approached in the final of the series with Anaheim a week ago on Sunday. So it is going to be very, very loud. The highest measurement I got during the games in Vancouver was about 98 at Rogers Arena. So let's see how everyone accommodates themselves to that. If nothing else, I know they will be tremendously loud. The loudest group of fans I can remember in the playoffs prior to moving here, and that was 13 years ago, were those early Ottawa Senators teams when they first made the playoffs. There was that memorable playoff they had with Buffalo in particular in 1997.
Pete Weber is the voice of the Nashville Predators. He's with us on the Jeff Sammet Show, Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Now, you know, Pete, what worked for Chicago last year in solving Roberto Luongo was a steady diet of interruption right in front of his crease.
Yes.
Of course, Dustin Byfuglien being one of the one of the players to do that so often for Chicago last year. Luongo has done his best to work on that this season, and his great numbers reflect that. But might this be the game plan for Nashville, trying to get Luongo to surrender to his old ways?
Well, the Predators don't have that many large bodies. Jeff, they do have a few, but most of them happen to be on the D-core. I don't know if Barry Trotz wants to have all of them going in that down low. As a matter of fact, the biggest bodies on the Predators belong to their goaltenders. I mean, Pekka Rinne, 6'5", and 207, and Anders Lindbach, who will turn tomorrow, age 23, is 6'6", 205. Now, I don't think, now that would be revolutionize the game, there's no question. but I don't think they want to try that. So, as it would turn out, I would think, however, to that end, you can get a Mike Fisher and a David Legwand and a Joel Ward, and for that matter, he's not that big, but not versed to doing that Jordan Tutu in front of the net more frequently.
Injury status for the Nashville Predators. Any concerns? Martin Erat left game two briefly after getting hit in the head by Weber's deflected slap shot. He missed a couple of games in round one with a suspected concussion. What's going on there?
He's fine. He's absolutely fine. Right. And the fact that he was able to bounce back, I think maybe he missed really only one shift after he got hit by Shea Weber's deflection in the game on Saturday. But the injured reserve list is still without much hope for any return. And Marcel Gotch, who had a shoulder operation performed about 5 weeks ago now at center ice, Matthew Lombardi, who played all of 4 periods for the team after being signed as a free agent acquisition in the offseason, he is still out with a concussion, as is defenseman Francis Bouillon. And when I think about those players, it might be Bouillon who they miss the most.
Nashville Predators, Vancouver Canucks tied at 1 in their NHL playoff series. Game 3 is tonight at 9 p.m. Pete Weber is the voice of the Nashville Predators, and he's got to put up with Terry Crisp all year, so give Pete some love on his way out. Thanks a lot, Pete.
You're very welcome, and you've had to put up with him in the booth, too.
Yes. But that was just for one night.
Okay.
Pete, good luck to you. We'll talk to you down the road for sure.
Thank you so much, and I'll try to text you or email you those sound readings from later on tonight.